الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين وقال تعالى أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله Most respected علماء الكرام حفاظ of the Quran Beloved brothers and elders السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته In the season of Hajj a lot is discussed regarding Nabi Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام From different dimensions, we can take lessons from his life. The Hajj itself, that Haji, that person who is going for Hajj, then there is a personification of a Mayyit. Then there is that lesson of that person who is like a Mayyit and a dead person. For that person who goes for Hajj, then he has to take out his normal clothes and he wears two pieces of ihram. Very similar to the mayyit, you take out all his clothes and he has to wear his kafan, white pieces of cloth also. That person who is going for Hajj, then he has to go through via various checkpoints to make sure his visa, he's got all his necessary documents, everything is above board, he's got his ticket. So that Haji also, that mayyit when he passes away and goes into the qabr, then there is examination and a test to make sure that all his documents are genuine, he has genuine iman, and then he continues like this, that entire Hajj, there is that lesson of a person like a mayyit. And then the other dimension of Hajj is that person who is deep in love with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he runs from place to place, looking, searching, where can he find his Allah? He goes from Makkah Mukarrama to Mina to Arafah to Muzdalifah and he continues from place to place. He's restless until he gets the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, there's so many lessons. One that we would like to highlight in today's sitting and gathering is that of the quality of total submission to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not even asking, no reservations, no qualms, no questions that does it make sense? Ya Allah, can it be possible you'll ask me to do such a thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam the initial life when he started the da'wah and invitation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forsake his own community, hometown, his own biological father, leave them. No questions. Immediately he leaves. He leaves his father for the sake of Allah. When he gets married, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him at a very old age with a son, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. When he is blessed with this child, Allah orders him to leave them and go out in the path of Allah to invite to the greatness of Allah. No question, Ya Allah, newborn, barren land, no source of survival, there's no natural water, there's nothing, oh my Allah, no questions. Immediately he goes out. He comes back, obviously in between, in this interim, there were a few other visits, ulama explain. But on one of these visits, when his son was of that age of benefit to him now, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, balagha ma'ahu sa'i. He was of an age of benefit, an asset now to his father. He could be like a runner to his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him to sacrifice his son. He's ready to put the throat, the knife on the throat of his son for the sake of Allah. Ulama explain
that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to slaughter his son for Allah. Allah forgive me and you, today we prepared to slaughter Allah's commands for our son. He was ready, come what may, for the sake of Allah, I'll do it. This is the command of my Allah. Total submission to every command of Allah. That is why that lesson of Mi'raj ulama explain that on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he goes for Mi'raj, then on the fifth, on the every heaven he met a Nabi of Allah. Every heaven, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met a prophet. On the sixth heaven was Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. On the seventh heaven was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Then he goes on and he meets Allah tabarak wa ta'ala into the courts of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the gift of 50 salah. He comes down, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and ask Allah for concession. 50 is a lot. I've been through the mill with Banu Israel. Please ask Allah to decrease. 50 is a lot for your ummah. They may not manage that. So ulama explain and say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming from the court of Allah down, you stopped on the sixth heaven and there was a conversation with Musa alayhi salam who tells you to go to and fro to Allah for a discount, 50 to come down. And he continues, one of the reasons ulama explained, didn't he pass Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam? See, most probably he would have met Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam on the return trip also. But didn't he say anything? He said, this was his salient characteristic and feature and quality of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. If Allah told him 50, no questions, ya Allah, I'm happy, jazakallah. No questions. His entire life was total submission. So this is that quality that needs to come into us. One is being faced, being at a T-junction between our desires and haram. Then there's no two doubts about it. Person can never doubt that obviously you'll have to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you'll have to trample on your desires and follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But another attack of shaitan, another attack on the ummah, is where a person is faced with this dichotomy and this T-junction between his desire and a deeni, an intention, desire of his. Meaning there's something that's religious, something that seems to be pious, and there is the desire. So what does a person do in this scenario? That one is something that is deeni and one is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The decision on both, what is the better? We find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, hadith appears in Sunan Abi Dawood. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu enters the masjid. Wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raki'un. When he enters the masjid, at the rear he sees that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the ruku posture. So he fears that if I walk normal, come to the saf, I fear I will miss my first rakat. But if I get the imam in ruku, I've got the rakat. So what does he do? فَرَكَعَ دُونَ الصَّفْ ثُمَّ مَشَى إِلَى الصَّفْ. He makes a ruku before the saf, and in the ruku posture then he walks, and he moves forward and joins into the saf, into the rows. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the salah, he addresses sahaba, أَيُّكُمُ الَّذِي رَكَعَ دُونَ الصَّفْ ثُمَّ مَشَى إِلَى الصَّفْ. Who's the one that made ruku before the saf, and then he was moving, advancing in that posture, and he came and joined the saf? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ana, I did that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Zadakallahu hirsan wala ta'ud. Allah increase your desire, your good, clean intentions to gain reward. Don't do that again. His intention was not to miss the rak'at. But he's not allowed to make the ruku before the saf. You'll have to come and join the saf, come into the sufuf and the rows of the Muslims, and then make your ruku, even if it be at the expense of missing one rakat. So his desire was very religious, very pious. He didn't want to miss a rakat. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that is incorrect. Leave your desire. This is my command. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you can taste the sweetness of iman. You will never touch that pinnacle of iman until your desires are not in coordinates, are not conforming to my likes, desires and wants. What is my desire should be yours. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إني جئتك لأبايعك على الهجرة. يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I came to take bayat and pledge allegiance. I want to make hijrat with you. And he says that I left my parents, they crying. They are in need, they dependent on my khidmat and service. But I feel a more better thing to do is to be in your suhbah, to get reward, to get that companionship with you, to draw directly from you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, you go back to your parents, make them smile as you made them cry. Yet his desire was so good. Another incident, a person comes, he tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to go for jihad. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the sahabi, do you have parents that are dependent on you? He says, yes, I've got parents that require my services on a daily basis. Nabi Sam said, if that's the case, فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ. Your jihad is the service of your parents. That's your jihad. Why? You need to suppress your desires and you'll have to comply with my desire. That is deen. You've got a very outwardly, piously garbed intention of yours, but you'll have to leave that aside. So the important thing that what we are discussing, that obviously if it is haram, then you have to do what is the sharia. But sometimes the thought that comes to mind is pious. Then too, a person will have to follow what is best for the sharia, not what you think may be best for yourself in reward and ajar. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates an incident that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, كان جريج الراحب رجلا عابدا فاتخذ صومعه. Jurayj, person of the previous nations, were a very pious, upright person. He built a place of worship for himself and he secluded himself in this place of worship, continuously engrossed. He was engrossed in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, day and night in ibadat. One day his mother comes. فَأَتَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهُوَ يُصَلِّي. His mother comes and he's performing salah. He is worshipping, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, if it is optional, and your mother comes and calls you, then you'll have to respond to your mother. If it is fard, you'll only respond if it is life-threatening. But if it's not life-threatening, then you will not break your fard. But a nafal, you'll have to break it. So he was in optional salah. And his mother comes and he says, Ya Jurayj, oh my Jurayj, oh my beta. So he says, he thinks to himself, Ya Rabbi, ummi wa salati. Oh my Allah, what decision do I make? I'm involved in salah and here my mother is calling me. What do I do? فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِ. He continued with his salah. Continued with his salah. فَانْصَرَفَتْ. The mother was fed up. She went away. فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدْ. The next day, the mother comes again, he's performing salah. So the mother says, Ya Jurayj, Ya Jurayj, calls the son, Oh Jurayj. So he says, Oh my Allah, Ay Rabbi, Ummi wa Salati. My mother is calling me on one side, and I'm engrossed in salah, what do I do? He's caught at a T-junction, he doesn't know which way to turn. فَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى salati. He says, Ya Allah, I think so, I'd rather continue with salah. He continues with his salah. His mother turns around the second day, she goes away home. Third day she comes. She says, Ya Jurayj, she calls out to him. So he thinks to himself, Ya Rabbi, ummi wa salati. Salah, oh my mother. On the third day, he continued with his salah. And the mother could not tolerate the son that he is not responding to me. He's not listening to me. He's not paying attention to me. He's full time involved. in his salah, he can't be bothered about time with me. So the mother, she picks up her hands and she says, Allahumma la tumithu hatta yanzura ila wujuhil mumisat. Oh Allah, let him not die until he doesn't set gaze on the face of harlots, of free, loose women, of a prostitute. Until he doesn't see the face of a prostitute, he shouldn't die. So this was the curse and the lana and the baddua, as we will say, of the mother. And it came to play. It happened. It happened. So the lesson that we don't know which is the moment of acceptance. If you are fed up, tired, upset, angry with your child, let you not utter a word of curse, lest it becomes a reality. What if what you said does happen? Then it's going to be too late to cry. So here she makes this curse to her son. And what happens is that Banu Israel, we're talking, that we've got a very pious person. His name is Juraj. He is absolutely pious. So one lady says that I don't think so. He's a genuine sheikh. He's not very pious. I will go and lure him into zina, into fornication and haram. So she dolls herself. She adorns herself. She comes to this place of worship of Juraj. She tries to entice him, but he doesn't give in. He continues with the ibadat of Allah. But on the lower chamber, on the lower rooms, there was a shepherd who used to take shelter, and he would sleep in one of the rooms on the bottom level. So she went into those rooms, enticed the shepherd, and he gave in, succumbed to his desires. He had relations, haram, zina with her. She became pregnant. She gave birth. And now she comes with this child to the community. And she says, didn't I tell you? There's it. So they ask, what you mean? He says, this is the child. From who? So she says, this is from Juraj, mean Juraj. So the people were absolutely upset. They could not tolerate this. They asked him to come down from his place of worship. And they raised it to the ground. They broke it into pieces. And they were very upset with him. So he says, what's the matter? He says, this prostitute gave birth to a child from you. He says, no, impossible. He says, Aina Sabi, where's the child? So they bring the child. So he says, Da'ni hatta usalliya. I cannot do anything now. I will have to connect to my Allah first. Before I lay the report to anyone, I will talk to my Allah. Before I will go and lay the charge, or before I open that case that my car has been hijacked, or someone broke into my house, I will talk to my Allah first. Then, let's see what's the results. Immediately, he performs two rakats, and then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the dua, he nudges, or he pokes the child, young, few days old child, pokes it into the stomach, and he addresses this child. Man abuka, who's your father? The child miraculously spoke and said, Fulan arra'i, certain shepherd. The people said, Hazrat Maaf, we didn't know you're so pious. We prepared to rebuild the structure, not with the normal cement bricks, golden bricks. He says, for the sake of Allah, put it back into its original structure as it was. I don't need golden bricks. We don't need that. Now these people want to know, you see, when one Molana can do some miracles, I take biyat on his hands. You know, when my child, he's got a brain tumor, and he comes and visits, and he puts his hand, and he tells me it's on the back, and he'll read one dua, and the tumor, brain tumor, it goes away, and the liquid is gone, and he's got shifa, take biyat on his hands. We're looking for miracles. The greatest miracle of the time is that a person can live every moment on the sunnah. If his life is governed by Quran and Sunnah, that's a miracle on its own in today's time. But no, we want to see miracles, then we'll take bi'ah. Then we will become connected with a certain person. But here, they only realized that he was so pious after this incident. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this incident, addresses Sahaba. And he says, لَوْ كَانَ جُرَيْجُنِ الرَّاهِبْ فَقِيهًا عَلِمًا لَعَلِمَ أَنَّ إِجَابَتَهُ أُمَّهُ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. If only Juraj was someone who was in depth in his knowledge, not topical and surface, He had true, deep understanding of the words of Allah and the Rasul of the time. Then he would have understood that responding to his mother at that moment was more pious, better a decision than continuing with the ibadah of Allah, because the better ibadah, the higher form of worship, was listening to his mother and responding to her. Both were pious. So the lesson again, that sometimes a person has very good intentions. He wants to study the deen of Allah. He wants to become more pious. But the route he is taking is wrong. But sometimes it is our mentality that's a little bit crooked, it's warped. What we need to do is keep ta'alluq with some alim. Keep ta'alluq with some scholar of the deen. One person, he comes, he says, Mawlana, I got one question. One place we went for Jummah, so what's the question? He says, no, today in the shopping mall, normally Jummah Salah 12 to 1:30, I'm closed. But today, the management sent a letter, we have to be opened, if not there's a fine. So what I did, Mawlana, the Muslim staff, I told him, must come for Salah for Jummah. One non-Muslim manager, I told him that he must take care of the shop, continue with business, but whatever sales you do, write it one side, keep that money one side. Mawlana, I made record of all that money. I want to put it in the lilla box, is it fine? I say, will you take it for yourself? He says, no, Mawlana, not for me. Lilla box is okay. Allahu Akbar. That which is not pure for you, you want to put it in a lilla box. Masla is something else, whether it's permissible or not. Whatever the case be, but look at this mentality. Why? Because not keeping ta'alluq with those people who have the true understanding of the deen. So here, Juraij, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, only if he had true deep understanding of the deen. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the last construction, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a shortfall of money and funds, because of which the Hatim is excluded from the Kaaba Sharif. Hatim is out of the Kaaba in the sense that it's supposed to be part, but it is outside. That which is approximately maybe 2 to 3 meters away from the wall was part of the Kaaba. There was a shortfall in the funds because of which they stopped. But that is part of the Kaaba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day expressed, and he told Aisha radiallahu anha, his most beloved wife, he says, لَوْلَ حَدَسَانُ قَوْمِكِ had it not been for your nation been so close, very fresh out of kufr, my intentions, لَنَقَدْتُ الْبَيْتِ I want to break this Kaaba Sharif, break the walls, and I want to include, وَلَأَدْخَلْتُ فِيهِ الْحِجْرِ the Hatim, I want to include it into the Kaaba Sharif, that's my intention. But I fear that if I do this, there can be some evil repercussions, some spin back to it. So let's leave it out. We won't do that. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed this desire to do it. That I wish I could do it. In the time of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, because of a war that took place, there was damage to the walls. He included it. He says, listen, don't worry what it was in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was his desire? We will go with his desire and include it. And today we've got no fear. I'm the Khalifa of the time. So he included it. Many years later, Hajjaj came and fought a war. He overpowered Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, took charge of Makkah. Mukarramah comes and he says, what has Abdullah bin Zubayr done? In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was not inside, it was outside. So he breaks the walls and put it back that the Hatim is out. Puts the walls as it was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not the desire. So a Khalifa comes little later on. Difference of opinion, Khalifa Mansur, Khalifa Mahdi, Khalifa Harun al-Rashid, one of the three. And he says that my intention, because this desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such an authentic hadith that is recorded in Bukhari Sharif, in Muslim Sharif. So my desire is I want to practice on the desire and include the Hatim back into the Kaaba. That's what I want to do. But before I do that, let me consult some alim person who has the understanding of hadith. Not the definition, not the translation. Who understands the hadith. So he comes and he comes to Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, the Imam of the time. He says, my intentions are to execute the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Hatim should be back inside. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi says, my fear is that this Kaaba will become a toy in the hands of the kings. My fear is that the Kaaba will become a toy in the hands of the kings. One king will come, he will say, no, in the time of Nabi sallam, it was out, leave it out. The next king will come, he'll put it in, and they will continue playing around with Kaaba. Because of the far-sightedness, because of the in-depth knowledge of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, till today there hasn't been any damage, alteration to that wall by including the Hatim inside, because of which Allah has blessed each one of us with the opportunity to go next to the Hatim wall, and you will get the reward as if you perform salah in the Kaaba Sharif. But what was it? The wisdom of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. So he had the ahadith, he had the knowledge, but he goes to a scholar. So this is that very important lesson, especially in today's time, when there's so much of bombardment, there's so much of attack on the aqidah, on our life, on our knowledge. Allah protect and grant each one of us the tawfiq to be proactive, lest we become reactive. And then it's too late. Person comes, in our own communities. He says, Mulana, this is what happened. What happened? He says, no, my daughter, she takes a lift club and she goes to school. So she came home, she said, Papa, but you don't teach us everything, huh? But what happened? He said, Papa, you didn't teach us Aisha radiallahu anha committed zina. Allahu Akbar. Betty, where you learn that? No, in the lift club, that girl in the same car, she taught us that her father taught her. We are family friends and I don't even know that. And here you haven't given the correct teaching, so your daughter is doubting. Had you taught her, engraved in her, and given her the correct message, there wouldn't have been any doubts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq, the ability to be proactive, teach our children, and this quality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, of being totally submissive to every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be our tilawat of Quran or salah, wherever we are faced with any challenge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that strength, that ability, that our desires become the desire of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.